Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Let us hear God's holy word. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox or your donkey or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand, a mighty outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let us pray together. O Lord, as we consider the fourth commandment to observe the Sabbath, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and our very lives where they are today. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Goldilocks. And she went for a walk through the forest and came upon a little cottage. And she went up and knocked on the door, but when no one answered, she decided to just go ahead in. And when she walked into this little cottage in the middle of the forest, she saw three bowls sitting on the kitchen table. She was hungry and saw that there was porridge in each of those bowls. And so she went over to the first bowl. It was a little bit bigger than all the rest. And she sat down and had a bite. But immediately she exclaimed, "Oh, this is much too hot." And so she put that spoon down and went to the next bowl, which was just a little bit smaller. And she took a bite and said, "Ugh, this one's way too cold." And finally she sat down at the smallest bowl and had a bite. And then she sat back after she had eaten the whole bowl of porridge and said, "Ah, just right." When I was reading that story to my children 2 weeks ago, I couldn't help but think about the human propensity to be out of balance. Isn't that the way it is in life? Our food is either too hot or too cold, too spicy or too bland. Our clothes are either too tight or too loose. Our house is either too big or too small. We either complain because we don't have enough money or too much money. Most of us complain we don't have enough. But if we're really honest, many of us actually have too much. And seldom do we ever have that same sense of satisfaction that Goldilocks had, where we can just sit back and say, "Ah, just right." A lot of people have that same out of balance when it comes to time. We tend to either be too early or too late. We're either in a mad rush or we're just mad because we're waiting around for someone else. Just for instance, humor me this morning. Raise your hand if you experienced any hurry before church this morning. Anybody here in a hurry? Okay, gotcha. Very good. Now, here's the one that is really fun. How many of you had the experience where you were waiting around for someone else this morning? Oh, I love when husband and wife both put their hands up. That is fantastic. So often when it comes to time, we hardly ever get to sit back and say, I had just the right amount of time. I believe that one of the primary reasons why we are so out of balance when it comes to time is that so many people have ignored what God's Word has to say about this. They've ignored God's pattern of work and rest. Last week we looked at Genesis 1 and saw how God instilled creation rhythms of work and rest right into the order that we see around us. It's been created into our very being. Work 6 days, rest and worship one day. And so after we looked at Genesis 1 last week, I couldn't help but feel compelled to move on through the Bible and revisit this theme, because the Bible talks about it so often. And so we looked at Genesis 1 last week. This morning, we're going to look at two places in God's law where this pattern of 6 days of work, one day of rest and worship are reiterated and reestablished right here in the Ten Commandments. Did you know that the Ten Commandments are found in two places in God's Word? One is in Exodus 20. The other is Deuteronomy 5. The same Ten Commandments in two different places. The Exodus Ten Commandments, it was sort of the original giving of the Ten Commandments. You remember the story that after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God delivered the Israelites. Moses led them through the Red Sea and across the Sinai desert right to the foot of Mount Sinai. And Moses ascended that jagged mountain and experienced God in such a powerful way. And God gave him the Ten Commandments and charged him to go back down the mountain and give them to the people. In Deuteronomy, we have a retelling of the Ten Commandments. This is about 40 years later. The Israelites were camped on the east bank of the Jordan River, awaiting the moment to cross the river and enter into the promised land. But before they would do that, Moses sits down and has a little pep talk with them, a little pre-game warm-up, and reminds them of the great deeds that God accomplished, and reminds them of God's law. They sort of needed this little spiritual pick-me-up to get them into the promised land. And it's in the midst of this that we see the fourth commandment. As I mentioned, we see the same commandment in two different places. They're very similar, aren't they? They both begin by either remember or observe the Sabbath day. How? By keeping it holy, which means to set it apart from all the other days. This one day a week should be different from all the rest. Yes, go to work, get your chores done, work hard, be diligent, 6 days. But one day is to be set apart for rest and for worship. He says that 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And he gives the law a command. On it you should not do any work. And he goes even further than that. Not only should you not do any work, but neither your animals or your employees or anyone else who's under your care. God worked 6 days and quit working on the seventh. That's the reason given in Exodus. This is what God himself did. He worked 6 days and rested one. But if you notice in Deuteronomy, there's a different reason given why we should work only 6 days and rest one. We see I bolded these. In Exodus, it's because God did this. In Deuteronomy, look at what's in bold there. It says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." If you remember what the Bible says about the Israelites being in Egypt for 400 years, you know what it was like there? It was work, work, work. Incessant work around the clock. Building the pyramids, building the huge and grand and amazing buildings of Egypt. They worked nonstop. And now that God had delivered them from this oppression, He wanted them to get back to the original creation rhythm. Don't treat yourself and others the way the Egyptians treated you. Don't work them to death. Don't work them until they're no good anymore. That's what happened to you in Egypt. Don't do it anymore. And so when we see these two passages side by side, again, almost all the words are identical except for the reasons given. Why should we work six and rest one? Because that's in fact what God Himself did. And also, this is a way for us to avoid the oppression that was delivered to the Israelites in Egypt. The Exodus reason supports loving God. Why work six and rest one? Because this is a way for us to love God by immersing ourselves into the pattern of His creation. Sabbath keeping is a way to get in on what God does. The Deuteronomy reason supports a life of love of neighbor. Now think about it. A Sabbath keeping is a way to love our neighbors as a simple act of justice. The way we use time affects other people around us. So Exodus is about loving God. Deuteronomy is about loving each other. Let's take a closer look at these two passages. The Exodus command to remember the Sabbath is backed up by the precedent of God Himself, who rested on the seventh day. When we keep this creation rhythm, we keep time with God. We're actually in the same rhythm as He is. Now listen to what Eugene Peterson says about this. The Sabbath keeping preserves and honors time as God's gift of holy rest. It erects a weekly bastion against the commodification of time, against reducing time to money, reducing time to what we can just get out of it, against leaving no time for God or beauty, or anything that cannot be purchased. Sabbath keeping is a defense against the hurry that desecrates time. This is so true. When we reduce time to money, or just simply what we can get out of it, we desecrate God's gift. It's just like a child who receives a gift on his birthday that he doesn't like. You ever see little kids do that, whether it's at a birthday party or just at home, and they open it up and they say, "I don't like this," and they pick it up and they throw it on the floor and smash it? Well, that's exactly what we do when we're poor stewards of time. God has given us this wonderful gift. And so often when we do not stay in God's pattern, it's just like we pick time up and smash it. It shows our lack of appreciation. God wants us to love Him by working 6 days and resting and worshiping one day a week. In Deuteronomy, we see that the command to observe the Sabbath is backed by a sense of social justice. We remember the Sabbath and rest on it in order to maintain the freedom of creation. Listen to what Peterson says about this. A Sabbath keeping preserves and honors time as God's holy gift of freedom. It erects a weekly bastion against the lethargic procrastination that breeds oppression, that lets injustice flourish because we are not attending to holy obedience and adoring love to other people and animals and things God has placed around us. When we are poor stewards of time, we do not love other people. Again, think about that. The way we use time affects everyone around us. How many families have been torn apart by time abuse? I think about the parent who oppresses their own family financially because they refuse to work. Or I think about the parent who oppresses his family emotionally because that's all they do is work. Out of balance, it can be on either end. There's a first grader who became curious as to why her father always brought work home every single night. His briefcase was full, and he would sit there in the evening and do work. Her mother explained, "Daddy has so much to do that he can't finish it all at the office. And that's why he brings us home at work, from work at night." Well then, asked the innocent little child, "Why don't they put him in the slow group?" It's a good question. God wants us to love other people by working well, resting well, and worshiping well. Let's think about those three issues a little bit more. Work, rest, and worship. The pattern of God. Let's start with work. We cannot understand either the character or significance of keeping the Sabbath apart from work and workplace. Work, contrary to popular opinion, does not take us away from God. It doesn't. It continues the work of God through us. A Sabbath and work are not in opposition to one another. They complement one another. A Sabbath and work are integrated parts of an organic whole. Listen to what the great reformer Martin Luther had to say about work. Listen very carefully to this. "The maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on his shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship." The work that we do, God cares about. God wants us to work hard. He wants us to work well. Therefore, if you are a farmer, make sure that your farm is a dairy of distinction in the eyes of God. If you're a teacher, make sure that you're teacher of the year in the eyes of God. If you're a nurse, make sure you care for people as if every one of them were Jesus Christ himself. Whatever you do for work, do it for the glory of God. Do it well. Again, I keep saying this 6 days a week. In America, we have a pattern of 5 work days, 2 weekend days. I'm not saying that we have to be legalistic about this. Jesus came in the New Testament and bashed any sense of legalism to this. But I think you get the drift of what is placed in the law. It's a balance. We need to work hard. God cares about that. But we shouldn't overwork because we need rest as well. And so there we have work. Let's think just for a minute about rest. I'll tell you a story. According to Greek legend in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop. You've probably read some of Aesop's fables. If you've ever heard the story of the tortoise and the hare, that's Aesop. And so many generations ago, Aesop was found out in a field playing a simple game with a group of children. And this man came along and said to Aesop, "Why are you wasting your time playing with these kids?" Aesop looked at him and said, "Well, let me explain it to you this way." And he picked up a bow. Not one of those compound bows that we see today that anybody could hit a deer from 100 yards with. But this is one of those old recurve bows where you could still take the string off really quickly. And what he said was, he said, life is kind of like a bow. He said, if you always leave it strung tight, eventually it'll break. He says, but after you're done using it, if you loosen the string, it'll be ready the next time you want to use it. He explained that to the man. He said, do you understand what I'm saying? The man just looked at him puzzled and said, I don't know what you're talking about. It's true for us. If we keep the bow always bent, it'll eventually break. But if you let it go slack, you'll find it more fit when you want to use it. People are just like that. If we're always bent, work, 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 around the clock, never stop, never take a rest, never take a day just to enjoy God's creation, to admire it for its beauty. If we never stop and worship with God's people, to think about all that He's done in our lives, we eventually burn out and we're no good. It was often said that of people who burn the candle on both ends, burn out very quickly. And it's so true. Work, rest, and finally worship. A storyteller, Garrison Keillor of Prairie Home Companion, says this, Sunday feels odd without church in the morning. It's the time of week we get our bearings, and if we miss it, we're just following our noses. 2 weeks ago, I preached a portion of this sermon at the Franklin Carriage House, and after preaching it, we had a wonderful little discussion. One of the ladies told me a story about her grandparents, who were family farmers and devout Christians. They farmed hard, but because they were devout Christians, they insisted on taking Sundays off. Sure, they fed their animals and milked their cows in the morning and evening, but they did not do any farm work the rest of the day. Well, one particular spring, where it had rained and rained and rained, and the farmers could not get their seed into the ground, they began to panic. And so this woman's grandfather woke up one morning and notified his wife that he would not be going to church on this particular morning. He said, if I don't start getting the seed into the ground today, we may not be able to. And his wife, who was gifted with incredible wisdom, did not argue with him and did not say anything but this as she walked out the door and walked to church by herself. She said, you'll regret this. And she walked off. Well, her husband worked hard that whole day and got more seed in the ground than he ever could have imagined. And later that night, he was exhausted but felt good about what he was able to accomplish. That was until the next morning when he woke up and went to the barn and discovered that his best horse was dead. Again, she was wise. She didn't say what she was thinking, I told you so. But she just looked at him. That was the last Sunday he ever missed church. Hard work needs to be balanced with consistent rest and consistent worship. Our bodies need weekly rest. Our souls need weekly restoration. And God gave us these laws for our good, not for His. He gave them to us as ways to love Him and love others. Are we good stewards of time? Let me conclude this morning. I found something that I think you'll find interesting and humorous. I found that there is a group of people that call themselves the Coronary and Ulcer Club. And there's some rules that you have to follow to be members of it. 7 of them, to be precise. The first rule is this. Your job comes first. Forget everything else. Number 2. Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays are fine times to be working. There will be no one else there to bother you. And number 3, never say no to a request. Always say yes. And number 4, accept all invitations to meetings, banquets, committees, etc. And number 5, all forms of recreation are a waste of time. And number 6, never delegate responsibility to others. Carry the entire load yourself. And number 7, no matter how many jobs you're already doing, remember that you can always do one more. If you follow those rules, you can be a full-fledged member of the coronary and ulcer club. The 4th commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. For most people today, that means taking Sunday as a day of rest and a day of worship. Now, I know that that's not going to be the way it is for all people. Sunday is a work day for me, usually about 10 hours, and so Monday is my day of rest. It's my Sabbath. And so if you're a nurse or a doctor, or there are a number of things where you have to juggle that a little bit. But remember the Sabbath rule. Work hard for 6 days and rest and worship well for one. Are you a good steward of the time that God has given us? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep time the way you keep time. Help us to love you by being in your creation rhythm. Help us to love others by being responsible with the time that you've given us. Help us to work, rest, and worship. And to keep each of these in balance. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.